You have many, many exhibits that you've produced down through the years. I remember one of them, the sit-ins, and I interviewed two people here in your permanent exhibit. You have the bar and the stools of the restaurant. I interviewed the daughter of Clara Luper, Marilyn, and Joyce Henderson in that exhibit, and it felt really unique to be there. How many museums are part of the Historical Society?
Well, it's always been a good question because we've always had a hybrid mix of museums. Some, we ran it all, we owned it, fee title, we had the staff, we did operations. And then you get all the way to those that were owned by a local group or a nonprofit, and we might have a staff member there depending on politics. It's kind of messy business. But we really got down to about 30 by the time the History Center's up and running. And by that time, I'd come up with a new structure. We had three levels. We had our main line museums where we owned the building, we owned the collections, we had the staff, we did the operations. And then we had those that were a hybrid, and then those we just supported with no staff, no ownership, but we supported. And so we have this structure, but I was always a believer in partnerships, that if we're going to succeed in anything, History Center or Fort Gibson or Squaw Home Site, we had to have partners. So I had always kind of excelled at that. I could go out and sell Cherokee Nation. You got to be our partner. Help us out. I'd go to, you know, communities and say, okay, we need something here in Kingfisher County for the Chisholm Trail Museum. And so we'd been developing these partner 501c3 support groups. We have one here at the History Center, the Friends of the History Center. So we had support groups. That was the local buy-in, the partnership that what they're doing for their community while we're doing it as the Oklahoma State community. Here's our investment. So if these people from Cimarron County are putting money into our treasury to do our part, it's got to be statewide significance, and you got to show your support because you're getting most of the benefit here in the town. Well, that was working pretty well. And by raising standards, my learning process started with the Route 66 Museum in Clinton. I was still deputy, but I had to put together a 18% budget cut plan in the early 90s. And it affected 14 museums, closing either totally or partially. Talk about a hornet's nest with the legislature. How can you cut this in my district? I can't lose these two jobs. I'm going to have these people who supported me coming down my throat. I'm going to get you fired if you do this. I said, sir, do what you got to do. This is what I got to do. So I was learning. And so coming out of that, we closed a little museum in Clinton. It's called the Western Trails Museum. Good location on Route 66 on Highway 40. No local support. Staff members who weren't doing anything. No collections. A building that had been built during the Raymond Gary administration, underserving. So I went to, I'll never forget, Representative Widener and Senator Kerr. They're still in my memory. I say, gentlemen, believe in me. I'm not going to abandon your community, but I got to close this museum. It's a drain on taxpayer expenses. It's not giving us any value. They said, okay. And so there's a new federal grant program at the time, eventually called ICE-T. It had just been passed. I learned about it. I think I can get some money if we change the concept from Western Trails to transportation, with largely highway transportation, specifically Route 66. Michael Wallace's book, The Mother Road, had just come out, 92. And so I see it coming together. So I apply for the funds to get over $1 million, get a little bit of state money. We go back in, hire Rand Elliott, a gifted architect who was struggling at the time and really trying to build a reputation, comes up with a wonderful design. Michael Wallace is a consultant. That's when Michael and I become friends. We pull all that together, and working with the highway department, Gary Ridley was the district manager, later director of ODOT. We pull it off, we open. And I told the legislature, if you guys will believe in this, I'm not going to come back to you for operating expenses. I think we can generate cash. Let's be more entrepreneurial. And I call it our entrepreneurial business plan for a state agency. I had to explain it to everyone. But we opened that first year. We generate almost $300,000 in revenue.
Wow.
In that little museum, because Route 66 is hot.
Yep.
And we're getting, I love the German tourists. That was our number one group. I love the Japanese tour buses, because they're going to spend more money in the gift shop. We had a gifted manager, Pat Smith, who's still there today, who became this guru of how to sell stuff to tourists. And it works. And we've since gone through two more generations of expanding the museum, new exhibits, collections of poetry, and a strong friends group, great volunteers. The name of the museum is on the water tower in the community. The Chamber of Commerce pays for the billboards. It's that public-private partnership that I saw could work in the early 90s. We used here at the History Center, that we would use in Enid, that we would use at Sequoia Homesite, and on and on. It just became the way that we could do business and improve all of our facilities.